You're listening to the Hill City Teaching Podcast, a recording of the Sunday morning service at Hill City Church. We would love to have you join us in person. More information can be found at www.hillcity.church.
Good morning. I'm a little loud. It's good to see everybody. Somehow we got the microphone working again, so I have my hands back. Some more illustrations with the fingers. That's not me. But definitely talk with my hands. We're in the middle of this series that we've called the Anthem of Hope. We've been working through 2 Corinthians and looking at us being a new creation. It's back. I can hear it. It's not. There's nothing touching it right now. I even ran the other wire this way. Sorry, this is really distracting. Let's talk to Jesus, and then we'll dig in. Father God, we thank you just for the ways in which you show up in our lives. God, the ways in which that, God, you speak and that you're present. And God, I was talking with a friend today who's going through turmoil and uncertainty, and God, he made the comment that as he was just talking to you about everything going on and trying to share his heart and be vulnerable, God, he felt like you hugged him. You hugged him. God, that's what we all need. We just need to know that you're there. God, we need to know that you're present, that you hear us, that you care, that even when times are hard, God, that you're right there alongside of us. But the enemy likes to jump in, and he likes to tell us if you're not working or you're not fixing the situation, God, that you don't love us. But we know from your word, we know from our experience, we know from the tradition of the church, God, that that's not true. That you deeply love us, that you loved us so much that you went to the cross for us, that you allowed a part of yourself to be cut off and die for the forgiveness of our sin. So God, we just thank you. God, with all the distractions of life in this world and the concerns and the possibilities and the fear and the anxieties, God, that often entangle our minds, and God, would you just clear them out right now? God, will you allow us just to focus in on you, and God, give us the ability and the confidence to take every thought captive so we can focus on you, can hear what you have to say. God, we know when we approach your word, when we approach your throne, God, that though there may be somebody up here preaching and teaching, it's you that does the speaking. So speak to our hearts, God. Convict us, encourage us, challenge us, provoke us, push us to who you've called us to be. Amen. But as we finish up this series of being new creations, if you're a follower of Jesus, of course, that's true if you're a follower of Jesus, right? If you're not a new creation, you haven't called Jesus Lord, you don't recognize that he did die and raise again for the forgiveness of your sin, you wouldn't be considered a Christian. Just because we attend church, just because we know where our Bible's at, just because we try to be good people, that's not what the definition of Christian. Christians are someone that make Jesus Lord of their lives. Christians are people that know that Jesus died and rose again for their sins. But if that's you, if you're in that place, you've made those confessions, we have access to this new life. And that's what we've been talking about over the last 6 weeks. And finishing up with today, we're looking at the finale of Paul's letter. And he talks about a handful of different things. Like last week, we may be a little bit all over the place, but this is where Paul was, so we're going to follow Paul's path. But we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 1. The verses will be on the screen. It says, "I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visitors, to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up in the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows, and I don't know. And I know that this man, whether it is in the body or apart from the body, I do not know. But God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressive things that no one is permitted to tell." Weird way to end a letter. There's a lot to unpack here, and for the sake of time, we won't be able to unpack all of it, but let's unpack the things we're like, did you just say third heaven? I did. Paul said third heaven. We'll talk about it. He's also talking about this vision that Paul had, and Paul's talking about himself here in the third person, which is also weird. But it's Paul that had this vision 13 or 14 years ago of this writing. Most likely, he was probably just got stoned somewhere around that season, most likely ministering out of Antioch at the time. But Paul was kind trying to explain that he has a right to boast because he's experienced something that most hadn't experienced. He got to be in the presence of God in paradise. Third heaven, when he uses that language, he's not talking about different levels of heaven, right? We're not like, hey, if you're just okay, you're in level one. If you're like, okay, but a little bit better than most, you're in level two. And if you're like Paul, you're in level three. There's levels to heaven. We all get to experience God's glory. There's different treasures. Depending on how you live this life, you will experience different blessings that others won't experience in heaven. But there isn't different levels. What he's just using common language of the day. So first heaven would have been the sky. Second heaven would have been the stars. Third heaven would have been the place where God reigns, right? That's essentially all he's saying. And he's saying that he experienced this paradise. And he doesn't know how he experienced it. He doesn't know if he was there in person. He doesn't know if his soul left his body. He's just trying to explain, hey, I had this crazy vision, this crazy experience. And in all honesty, I have a right to boast because God chose me to experience this. But that's not the point of what he's trying to get across here. Let's keep going in verse 5. He said, I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself. He separates himself from the experience. And he says, I'm not there, I'm here. I'm still living this life. Sure, I have things I could be boasting about, but I'm not going to boast about those things while I'm here. I'm going to boast about Jesus. And that's essentially what he says. But I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain. So no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I say or do. Because of these things, because of these surprisingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Let me read that again. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take that away from me, to take away this thorn in the flesh. And God responded, my grace is sufficient for you. What I have given is enough. For my power is made perfect in weakness. See, this thorn that he was experiencing, it wasn't a secret thorn. He talks in such a way and uses, you know, his language in such a way that essentially tells us that whatever his weakness, whatever his thorn in his side was, the Corinthian church knew what it was. They could either see it, they've experienced it. Maybe it was the way that he spoke. Maybe he had a lisp or stuttered, or, you know, something like Moses dealt with. Or maybe it was a physical ailment that he carried around and everybody knew. But essentially, he's making this point into the Corinthian church that, of course, you can see my ailments. Of course, you can see the thorn in my flesh. Of course, you can see this junk. And even some in the Corinthian church probably looked at him and looked down upon him because of this thorn. We can come to those conclusions in terms of how he approached other parts of this letter. But he's saying, but in the midst of that weakness, in the midst of whatever this is, this lacking, God's power is shown. That if I didn't have this thorn, if I didn't have whatever this thing is, God's power and glory wouldn't be shown through my ministry, through the things that I'm trying to do. That's so opposite of how we live this life, isn't it? So different than how we typically experience it. Because oftentimes we find our courage, we kind of find our confidence in our strengths, in our abilities, and in how God has created us. But oftentimes, and this is the point Paul's trying to make, is oftentimes in the midst of those skills, or amidst of this, you could have this crazy vision and revelation where everyone's like, whoa, I don't know what's going on with Paul, but that's crazy. That we can become conceited, self-focused, and self-reliant. And if we've learned anything over the last year, we've learned that we've got to create dependence. We got to learn how to trust God. Faith is the currency of the kingdom. You want to see God do massive things in and around you. You want to see God use you in powerful ways. It comes back to how well do you trust Him? And trust isn't an idea or a belief. I don't get to stand up here and declare, I trust God. No, trust is an action. How does my life demonstrate that I trust God? When God's saying, hey, I want you to give money to this or give money to this individual, and you're like, but God, look at how little my bank account is. Do you give it? Or when God says, hey, I want you to go reach out to this individual and invest time in them, but you're like, God, you don't understand how tired I am. I've done so much already this week. Do you trust Him? Is He not good? Will He not provide? Does He not work outside of the way that we view this life? Isn't He bigger? Doesn't He set the rules? This morning, when I was spending time with Jesus, I'm working through the Gospel of Matthew right now. And Jesus is in the boat with His disciples, and a storm shows up. This is the verses where Jesus is sleeping in this boat, and all the disciples are freaking out, like, we're going to drown. And they go and get up. Jesus says, Jesus, do you not even care? And Jesus slowly gets up, probably a little annoyed and frustrated because he was having a good sleep, and goes out and says, hey, wind, shut up. Seas, be still. Why do you guys have no faith? And then probably went back to bed. He didn't, at least not in the story. But he doesn't play by the same rules. The disciples were astonished. Like, the weather listens to this guy. And this is that power in our life. This is Christ crucified. But we don't often see it because we just don't trust. We start with our lacking. God, I can't do that because of fill in the blank. God, I know you're asking me to do that, but God, here's all the reasons why I can't. Fill in the blank. And He goes, I know. I created you. I know you better than I know yourself. Do you not think I would come through if I asked you to do something? Do you not think I would bring it to completion if I called you to it? I know your weaknesses. Let me flex my muscles a little bit. But do we embrace that idea? If we're honest with ourselves, most of us don't. At least I don't. My first response to God when He asks me to do something I don't think I'm capable isn't, God, you've got this, I'm in. It's usually, God, let me give you the laundry list and all the ways in which I'm out. And God's just simply saying, trust me. Look what I can do. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. And this is the whole point of the message today. I'm going to give it to you all at one time. We often start with why we can't, when God is saying, I can. We often start with why we can't, when God is saying, I can. And really, it's a statement of pride. Right? It's a statement of I'm still in control of my life. God, you're not going to set me up to fail. I can't do that. He's saying, trust me. We want to see God move in powerful ways. We want to be a part of a revival and a movement to see lives transformed and changed. We want to have a life that matters. Right? We want to be able to get to the end of it and say, man, Jesus, the things that you allowed me to do, the people you let me impact, I never thought I'd have a life of this type of adventure and this type of impact. But we don't get to that life if we start with I can't. We don't get to that life and experience those things collectively or individually if we start with I can't. God knows you can't. He's not asking you to do it because you could. He's saying, let me do it through you. Trust me. Trust me. Watch what I can do. Is trust me moments terrifying? Absolutely. And guess what? When you conquer that trust me moment, the next one's bigger. When you conquer that trust me moment, guess what? The next one's bigger. This is the faith that we follow. This is what it looks like to follow Jesus. Because eventually that trust me moment that's in front of you right now, where God's saying, go do this, and you're saying, I can't, and he's saying, but I can, you're going to laugh at a year from now. I was so worried about that. And then I did it. And then God came through. I was so terrified that I'd be left hanging with the bag. But he came through. I was so terrified I'd fall right on my face. And I did. And God still came through. Because the next mountain to cross, or the next challenge in front of you, is going to be even scarier and more terrifying. But this is how God works. Starts with the little things. Will you trust me with this small thing? And now you have a choice. Yes or no. And guess what? When we say no, God will give you another chance. He'll give you as many chances as you need. But they're not going to get any bigger than that. Because you haven't trusted him yet with that. Are we going to trust him? When God says, trust me with this, watch what I can do. Do you trust him? You're going to get stuck if you keep saying no. You're going to wonder why, Josh and others, they talk about this big impact that we can have, and I'm not experiencing it. It's probably because you haven't learned to trust God yet. How do you learn how to trust God? One is just do it. Start saying yes. But two, spend more time with him. If you don't know somebody, of course you're not going to trust somebody. I don't know if it was planned that question of losing trust and us talking about trust today were coordinated. Knowing us, we're not that coordinated of a church, so probably not. But that's huge. How do you lose trust with somebody? How do you gain trust? Or how do you give trust to people? But oftentimes, we don't trust things we don't understand. We don't trust people we don't know. So it's kind of ridiculous for us to say, oh, I'm going to trust God when I don't know God. And I'm not talking about know God from a perspective of salvation. Paul's clear. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he died and rose again, you shall be saved. Step one, get baptized. Step two, start this journey of fostering relationship with Jesus so you can actually know him. Not know of him. Not be Facebook friends with him from a distance and know facts and figures about him, but know the living God. That's why Jesus went to the cross. That's why his body was bruised, humiliated, and his blood was spilled. It was for forgiveness of your sin, but that was just the beginning. It's so you can be a new creation and experience this relationship with the living God. I don't know about you, but it blows me away. I feel like God has a lot going on. He's God. He tells us that he keeps the birds alive in the air. There's a lot of birds to keep track of, let alone everything else he's involved in. And who knows how involved he really is. I think he's a lot more involved than we probably give him credit for life to exist. And in the vastness and in the bigness of God, takes the time to spend with you. How crazy is that? That when I talk to him and I pray, when I read his word and I foster relationship and choose trust and have consistent communication and be vulnerable in the midst of that conversation, that he hears all of it. And it's not as a distance. It's not like I'm writing letters and throwing them up to the third heaven. That he's right there with me, sitting with me, having that conversation with me. How incredible is that, that we get to experience this? And the reality is most of us waste it. We have this opportunity to talk with the creator of the universe, and we don't take up the opportunity. It's really hard to trust God if you don't know him. You got to start somewhere. We got to start with knowing him. We got to start spending time with him. Is it going to be awkward at first? Absolutely. It's always awkward with new friends. You don't know the rules of the relationship. Are they going to have the same humor as me? Or are they going to just run away and flee? Thankfully, God doesn't do those things, so you're safe there. But it's going to be a little bit awkward. And that's okay. Keep going. There's going to be days that you miss. It may go by weeks, and you're like, man, I haven't talked to Jesus in like 3 weeks. Pick up wherever he left off. It's okay. The enemy's going to be like, now you suck as a human being. You got to fix all your junk before you go back to the Holy One. And the Holy One's standing there saying, nope, right now, let's go. I'm right here. Or we commit that sin that we've been fighting the temptation of for so long, and we're like, oh God, I'm just a horrible person. And the enemy's like, you're right, you suck. And Jesus standing there saying, I'm right here. Come to me. Ask me for forgiveness and see what I do. This is the God we get to serve. But you want to see God work in the midst of our weakness, we have to start trusting. And if we're going to trust him, we have to know him. If we're going to know him, we need to be spending time with him. But let's get back to Paul here. We often say we can't when God is saying, I can. Look what I can do. It could be little things. Be little things that God's asking us to do. Right? We're a church. We are the hope of the world. We carry the message of Christ Jesus, him, his death and resurrection, and we get to celebrate that as a church family next week. But we also have an opportunity to allow others to experience it as well. But this is what we do. I know I should invite people, but maybe you know they don't want God. Not your decision to make. Watch what God can. But what if they stop liking me and we're not friends anymore? I promise you, God can. But you don't understand, Josh. I'm an introvert. Like, I don't like talking to a ton of people. It's okay. God's not asking you to invite the world. He's most likely giving you a name or two. Invite those people. But often we come up with all the excuses of why it won't work out. Instead of just trusting God and watch what God will do. Sure, that person has a decision to make, to come or not come. That's their right. That's the will that they have. But we can also beg God to move in the midst of those things, to help make the decision that gets them in the place so they can hear the gospel, maybe even for the first time. But there's people all around us, and we have an opportunity in front of us. You're like, but what if they ask me a question about God that I don't know how to answer? I don't know is a very sufficient answer. It's okay. We're going to come with all these reasons why we can't when God is simply saying, I can. And that trust factor is just invite. I know it's terrifying. I know it's scary for most of us, but invite. And my guess is we're sitting here in this room right now, there's names running through your head. Or maybe it's a name running through your head. Look what God does. God doesn't speak and you have a name. I think God speaks. Whoever that happens to be. So I want to do something right here in our service. Thankful we're small, probably something we couldn't do as we grow. But we're going to do it now. We're going to pray for these people. Whoever God's placing on your heart to invite. It could be a family member. It could be a friend. It could be a neighbor. It could be a coworker. It could be a spouse. We know the people that are running through our head. And we know what their typical responses are. But that's us saying we can't. Let's just see what God can do. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray for them. And we're going to pray silently for the most part. Because I don't want to put anyone on the spot. But as we pray, if God's put someone on your heart and you're saying, I'm going to invite them. I'm not going to make any excuses. I'm going to make it happen. Just say their name out loud. That's it. Don't have to give us who they are or any explanation of how you know them, just say their name. And we're going to pray with you, alongside of you, and ask God to move in those places. But let's pray. Father God, God, we know that the bigger asks, God, the bigger things are still ahead of us of what you're going to ask for. How are you going to tell us to trust you? But God, here's a small thing, an opportunity to invite someone to experience your gospel, your forgiveness, you. And God, I know that there's names on our minds right now, people that are around us, that you're calling us to invite. God, and we know we say these names, that you hear them, and you're going to start working. And as people say these names, that you'd be praying for them in the room. God, hear our prayers. God, in the moments where we don't feel like we have enough, we're too scared, we believe too many lies, that we're just stuck. God, give us the courage to be pushed through. God, we want to be doers of your word, not just hearers. We want to make an impact because we trust you. God, give us that courage to go out and allow others to see you through our lives. God, give us names and people and individuals, God, you want us to invite. Maybe people we know really well, maybe people we've just met, or maybe people we've just seen from afar. God, give us the courage to invite, to share your hope. Amen. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weakness, in insults and hardships and persecutions and in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And Paul finishes out this letter to the church in Corinth. He says this in chapter 13. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. I mean, there's a process to be had, but to become more like Jesus. Encourage one another. Be of one mind, united behind Christ crucified. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss, and all God's people send their greetings. May the grace of Lord Jesus and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let me pray for us. Father God, God, we thank you that you call us to hard things. And God, when we miss those opportunities and we say no to you, God, we thank you for your grace and that you give us a second shot and a third shot and a 100th shot if we need it. But God, we know that if we want to have impact with this life, we got to start trusting you. And if we're not trusting you, there's a good chance that we don't know you well. So God, give us the desire to spend time with you, to be around you, to have conversations with you, God, so we can get to know you, get to know that you are extremely good, that all power lives inside of you, that you're extremely gracious as you shed your grace and your mercy upon us, and that, God, you are the ruler of this world, seated on your throne. And if we're going to be a part of your kingdom, we have to follow you in your ways. Thank you. Thank you for your death and resurrection. Thank you that we get to call you Savior, Lord, and friend. You're so good to us. God, allow others that are around us to be able to see your goodness, your forgiveness, your hope.
We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Hill City Teaching Podcast. We hope it was helpful to you to become a more devoted disciple of Jesus. More information can be found at www.hillcity.church.